everybody. It is great to be here one more time today. And my name is Gary Fowler, and I'm the CEO, president, and founder of GSD, Get Shit Done Venture Studios. We're a premier AI and quantum venture studio located in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm a 17-time serial entrepreneur with several unicorns under the belt. I was on the original management team of Click Software, which was sold to Salesforce for $1.35 billion, and also Eva.ai, one of the first generative AI companies that we co-founded. I co-founded with Dr. David Yang in 2016, sold the company to Vizier in Canada. We believe that intellectual capacity is evenly spread around the world, but opportunities are not. And with that, we have an incredible guest today. So Alan Carpino is the CEO of a Targeted Bioscience. We're going to talk about his background and some of the incredible things that they're doing with their technology to precisely isolate specific cells or regions from a tissue sample. It's incredible. Using a microscope with a laser allows researchers to target or cut out exact areas. So imagine you have cancer, and you know, a lot of the challenges with cancer are that you take the good cells. Well, imagine having this incredible intelligent technology that can look at it differently. So with that, I'd like to bring Alan on board. Hi, Alan. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Gary.
So tell me, how did you get into this anyhow? Did you just wake up one day and say, oh, I think I'm going to do laser cachet proteomics and spatial tissue molecular profiling?
It's a great question. So I was working at UMass Medical School in the Department of Neuroscience and Neurology. And we had just published a couple papers. One of them ended up in the prestigious Journal of Science. And it was all revolved around something called in situ hybridization. So I was also taking some graduate courses at the Harvard Extension School. And then what I got an interview for Millennium Pharmaceuticals, which at the time was the first personalized medicine pharmaceutical company about 22 years ago. It was founded on the premise of finding the right drug for the right person at the right time. And I'm like, wow, this is a pretty exciting concept. I got there. And they wanted me to work in their in situ hybridization core. But then they said, wow, we have this really new, cool technology. Nobody knows how to use it. We really can't do a lot with it downstream. It was in the heyday of biotech. But they said, we want you to make it work. So I came home and I actually had told my wife, they hired me, but I'm not quite sure they like me. I think they want me to quit. They put me in front of this technology that's never been used before and want me to figure it out. So I was actually the first customer for laser capture microdissection about 22 years ago when Dr. Lance Liotta, who was a mentor of mine, developed it out of the National Institute of Health. So lo and behold, I actually used the technology at Millennium Pharmaceuticals in various disease paradigms, and I saw the importance of it. And I also, like you had mentioned before, imagine if you had cancer. I think a lot of us and a lot of your listeners here today have been experienced or have been touched by someone in their lives that has had cancer. And going through that process and understanding that there needs to be better ways to do this, right? Better ways to do research, better ways to do drug discovery, better ways to actually monitor patients. So that's kind of how I got into this whole laser capture, microdissection, proteomics world of biotechnology.
So how did you, what's your background? Were you a doctor or was researcher? No. What happened?
Yeah, so I went to school and I studied biology. And then I worked in various different laboratories back in the day. And back in the day when I started in the laboratory, we did things a little bit different than they did today, right? With it was the kind of a lot of the old school technology. So my first job was actually when I was in college, when, you know, 20 years old, 19, I used to intern in different laboratories in pharmacology, then was hired as research associates and assistants, supported about 20 postdocs in one lab at UMass Medical School, and then said I didn't know what I wanted to do, right? Go to medical school, take more graduate courses. So I took a whole bunch of different graduate courses in a whole bunch of different areas. Even at UMass Medical School, we could take some medical classes or graduate courses back then at the time, the way it worked. But then I just fell into this whole laboratory side of this, got it hired by a pharmaceutical company, and then was actually hired by biotech companies and evolved over the years into different roles at these companies. And then thought, you know, I think there's a, you know, I would like to start my own organization to be able to really focus on this technology, right? And to really improve this technology, because I saw how impactful it could be and revolutionizing, you know, cancer research.
When you go down through, you know, you did this, you know, it's fascinating because when you take this spatial tissue molecular profiling and you take it from the bench to personalized medicine, the application of that technology from the research in the lab to really taking it out to people, I mean, it's going to change everything, right? Personalized medicine treatments are going to be tailored for the individual exactly. Then we use things like generative AI that can, you know, change the world, especially multi-agent, multimodal generative AI. I mean, by understanding these, and I'm not a doctor, I'm a clinical psychologist, by the way, so I don't know much about biology, but I'm just a poor country boy. I grew up on a farm. But when you, you know, when we understand these protein compositions and interaction, you know, in disease versus healthy tissues, you can really develop incredibly, incredibly targeted and effective therapies and increase, what do we used to say, efficacy dramatically, correct?
Correct, Gary. And I think that you hit the nail on the head here. I think, you know, if you really step it back a little bit and just come at it from a very common sense, practical perspective, it's kind of like, you know, when you go in, you take a piece of tissue, it has millions of different cell types in it, right? It's like finding a needle in the haystack. Well, laser microdissection is a way to go in and actually just pluck out the diseased areas you want. And then, like you had just referred to, you can actually take this, put this into our AI platform, and actually really come up with unique molecular signatures for these patients. Because the reality of it is that each patient's molecular signature is distinct. We're all unique. So we need to develop unique therapies in ways to monitor the treatment to those therapies so that we truly do bench to bedside personalized medicine. And I think laser capture microdissection is one vertical into our organization that allows us to improve these AI algorithms and this AI learning because we're really just focusing on a specific subset of cells that really are impactful to understanding, say, cancer therapy and cancer diagnostics.
Yeah, and so you go down to that subset and you go down through and I remember, what is it? The adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine, right? I remember the that. And I remember if you mix them up, nothing good happens, right?
Yeah, nothing good happens, right? You have all these mutations, right? So in cancer, you know, it just starts growing out of control. So why don't we go in there at the tissue level? And targeted bioscience is really a tissue-focused focusing on that tissue and that tissue microenvironment, right? What's going on within that specific tissue and within that specific patient's tissue? And then we can come up with these molecular signatures. And the technology downstream today is so sensitive, although it's not that sensitive, right? As much as we would like it to be. So we have a tissue section. A pathologist may look at this and say, geez, I still don't have enough cells here to do this. Well, when you come in and you just isolate and enrich for certain subpopulations, the sensitivity and the efficacy of those downstream assays increases dramatically. And this is what we've seen.
What kind of an impact down? Let's say, how much better is it, right? So if you take a traditional approach, you know, I don't want to say non-sophisticated, but the traditional approach compared to what you're doing now with this you know, spatial tissue molecular profiling and laser capture, how much better is it? Like, what do you think?
Oh, it's leaps and bounds. I mean, you can clearly see it. For instance, there's some folks that have utilized this in what they call the I-SPY 2 clinical trials, and they were able to predict which folks were going to respond to therapy just based upon their molecular signature, their phosphoproteins. And then they were able to kind of tailor the therapies for some of these other patients that have metastatic cancer, right? And find unique therapies for them. So it's not just a simple, oh, geez, this is going to increase by 10%. It's leaps and bounds because some of those tissue sections, the doctors send out this stuff for, say, genetic analysis. Well, they might not send that patient's sample out at all. So then that patient is kind of left with traditional therapies. And we know that there's a lot of tailored therapies out there right now. So it's really finding that right lock and key. And using laser microdissection really increases the sensitivity and efficacy of those downstream assays. From basically not being able to do it. So you can kind of see the power just in that.
So what about like directive drug therapies, right? Hyper-personalized drug therapies, because you can start to understand how those, how it's going to react, the, you know, down to a molecular level, right? So how, you know, you can, you know, we now you go to the doctor, they give you medicine. They don't have a damn clue if it's going to work on you or not. And they give it to you and maybe it's too much and toxic or maybe it's not enough, right?
It's so true. This is incredibly important. And I've gone through this with my own loved ones, right? Understanding if one of someone that you truly love and care about is really going to respond to these therapies. And you may have to go through multiple rounds of chemotherapy, right? Or these very toxic treatments to understand. And then come at the end, you might not respond. So, you know, laser microdissection is a tool that we use. It's a microscope with lasers to actually capture stuff from the tissue section. We also have something called targeted extracellular vesicles, where you can go in and take a little biopsy of that tumor, fine needle aspirate for, say, like breast cancer or core biopsy, and actually look at these extracellular vesicles that actually are the highways, the communication highways between cells. And we're actually using this in multiple clinical trials right now, and it's going to be presented actually this upcoming week at the American Association for Cancer Research in San Diego, where we're able to see if patients are actually responding to treatment in real time. So you can take these things out, analyze them, and then see if a patient's responding. And then I think the exciting part is some of the AI stuff that you're discussing before is now we can put this into our AI platform and understand the cell circuitry, understanding the weakness of those cells, and really coming up with tailored therapies.
Well, I mean, that's these close. I write a lot about it. I've written 300 and some articles. I don't know if, you know, like I said, I'm a country boy from Pennsylvania, but I write a lot. One of the things I talk about, hyper-personalized medicine and living to 150. Actually, it was a project my MBA students did. I took them out to Palo Alto and work with some of the folks from Stanford on that living to 150. And we still, this is many years ago, by the way, 10 years ago, I started doing that. And I was just interested on that side of it. And then I was also interested in the soft side of living longer, right? The will to live, right? Sometimes we forget, it's not just about the therapies. It's about the will to live, you know, and I'll tell you a little story. You'll like this. And we kind of weave it in. And as a clinical psychologist, I think about this a lot. But my father had a stroke, and they said my father was going to die in 7 days. And so he was in Pennsylvania. I was out in Palo Alto, California. I flew back out, and they said my dad hadn't talked for days, right? 4 or 5 days he hadn't talked. And they said, well, he's probably going to pass, you know. And so I thought, how in the world could these people say that my father's going to pass when they have not, they, you know what I mean? It's, I understand this, the life and death instinct and the will to live. And so it was kind of interesting. I went up to his bed and I said, hey dad, I'll buy you a basset hound, because he always wanted a basset hound. And he turned around, Alan, and he said, you promise? And I thought, I would have told him an elephant. I would have told him anything. At
that right, exactly.
I didn't care. And I would have done it. I wouldn't have liked it, but I would have done it. And I would have figured a way to do it. Anyhow, so I said, I want a brown and white female. They're friendlier. Well, I bought the dog. I found one in Texas. I bought the dog. It was absolutely a miracle, because my father walked and talked again. They said he would never walk and talk again. I said, hey, dad, your dog's got to go to the bathroom. You got to take her out. All right, I'll take her out. He walked. The point is, and he lived 3 years. The point is, when you take what you're doing and you combine it with some of the soft side of it, that sometimes with compassion, empathy, those kind of things, you can dramatically increase the probability of efficacy of the treatments, right? Because if you want the treatment, things change. It's very, very interesting, you know?
It's super interesting. And you could imagine, I've seen this with just recently with what my uncle in colon cancer. Could you imagine if you could actually go in, do like a needle biopsy or a little bit of a colonoscopy, look at this tissue and actually understand if this drug is actually working, if you could link that to the soft side to give the patient more of a positive outcome right away, right? Selling them what's working, that whole emotional aspect, soft side of it, is just going to help, right? It's going to enhance the efficacy of that treatment. And it is really in real time that happens. And on the reverse side of that, what if a therapy isn't working and a patient really still has that soft side and that will to live? And, you know, like you going to talk to your dad and saying, all right, we're going to change therapies because these therapies really aren't working. And we're actually looking at this right inside the tumor itself. So not trying to go fishing for it, so to speak, in the blood. A lot of folks are using the blood, and it may very well be in the future the blood may get there. But right now, there's no better snapshot than going on what's going on in the tumor at this particular
time. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, we talk about real time everything, right? So whether it's climate changes, so if I know what's happening right now, I can make those changes right now and course correct. And get the thing straightened out. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, then you could link it with AI and link it back to AI helping you find and stratify which clinical trial you should be on, right? There's like doctors don't have all the time in the world to just read every single clinical trial. So if you could use artificial intelligence to see how you're responding and then link all that back, it just gives the patient so much more of hope, right? That they can actually fight and beat these types of complex diseases.
Well, you know, one of the companies that we have inside of GSD, we have 153 companies now, but one of the companies is called Creatus. And Creatus is a company that uses multi-agent large language models. So they work as a team. And so they assign themselves tasks based on which one of them has the best capabilities to accomplish a task. For instance, Llama can be 1,000 times better at mathematics than ChatGPT. And so they actually, inside of the team, they assign themselves tasks. What happens is you get rid of a lot of the hallucinations and bias because they start checking each other, mm-hmm. right? They start checking each other to make sure it's correct. Some may be better at some kind of research than another one of the models. So, but we've done it. We put it on the climate change equation, and we went down through in 20 minutes, it came back with, how to stop a global warming. So they actually came back. And then the craziest thing that happened, Alan, is about a minute later, they wrote a 100-page paper on how to reverse it on their own.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing.
You know what you have and put it in that kind of a model, what I'm saying is, and you created this intelligent assistant, right, that could go down through intelligent medical assistant that could give the doctor superpowers. Right? Because that's what's happening. By the way, I'm talking about this all over the world. I'm flying to Berlin and talk about this. I'm going to be with a family offices in Utah, and I'll be in California this week, actually, because I think it's critically important. And it's going to change the dynamics of how we look at things. It's going to change the dynamics. What you're doing is going to help us live longer and better quality lives. But, you know, part of the challenge on your side, from my perspective, is getting the word out. Because it's like having a Ferrari in the garage. People don't know who you are and what you have. So there's a lot of little Ferraris sitting in garages, and nobody ever takes them out. They just look at them. And the key is you got to get the damn Ferrari out of the garage.
You hit the nail on the head. And that's what we're trying to do here, right? We're trying to link all of our technologies that we have as an organization together. Understanding cell circuitry, weaknesses in cells, how to actually have designer therapeutics based upon the cell circuitry that we're able to identify, right? And put them into these types of models. And that's what's really going to move the needle here. And you're right. We need to get ourselves out there.
That's the problem, because you get so into it. You get so tunnel vision being an entrepreneur. And I've been there myself, right? And now I see it from a different perspective. But you get so tunnel vision, you don't have time to think anything else because you're trying to figure out, did I pay that insurance payment or not? I get down through and I got a tax issue. Which state do I need to resolve it in? Right. Or did I file that patent? Is a provisional patent being granted or not? Right. And these kind of things you get. But that's what, you know, I call it the entrepreneur's dilemma. A lot of people face it. But the problem is, you know, if you look at it, it's not about what you have. It's about the storytelling about what you are, right? The storytelling, the 90% of building a billion-dollar company.
Yeah.
The storytelling.
It is. And it's really getting the word out and what the vision of the organization is, right? I would assume, you know, I don't know a lot of your other organizations, but, you know, we have a pretty strong intellectual property foundation, right? That you're built upon. And I think those things, it has taken me a couple of years, right? 2 or 3 years, probably 2.5 years to kind of get to where I need to be. That now I have these solid products, right? And I see the future of them and we're advancing them and we have new products coming out. And now we are at the point where what you just referred to, Gary, is actually, okay, getting this word out, taking this Ferrari out and actually driving it around the neighborhood, right? So that people are like, wow, there actually is a Ferrari over there. What are we going to do with it, right? What is this really going to mean? It's a very exciting time for us. We're really looking forward to AACR and really ramping up who we are as an organization. I think, the last couple of years, we've done a very nice job, selling our instrumentation, selling some of our software platforms and those type of things. But it's really what's the next level, right? Taking this organization to that whole next level. And I think that's where we are as an organization to date.
Well, and the thing is, it's not just a driving a Ferrari around the neighborhood. In fact, I wrote an article, I think I put it in Forbes actually, but it's winning the Formula One. Because everybody can drive around the garage and, be pretty driving around. And I remember a long time ago, I had a Lamborghini. And when I was a kid, I was lucky. I had some good situation. And I used to drive it around. But who cares about that? It's winning the race. It's important.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And you got to get into the race. And I think we're at the race right now, which is really exciting. So we're making a lot of noise. And I think we're getting, people are looking and saying, oh, wow. What do we really have here, right? When they hear about these extracellular vesicles, right? And these papers that are being published in these international journals, and they're linking it back to all of our technology, I think people are like, oh boy, I think they have something here. So I'm thinking we're probably going to qualify. I think we're at a point where we qualified for the race. Now I think we have to win the race, right? We have to get out there, step on the gas, stop passing a bunch of these other, cars on the road. And I think we're going to get there. I think we definitely have the team, we have the products, and it's really, linking it to folks like yourself to help us do this.
Yeah. And you're right on target. I see it all the time out in Silicon Valley. In fact, I go out there every 2 weeks now and spend time in Palo Alto. Why do I go out? Because, it's really the hub of the world, right? For a lot of technology. So though Boston is great and the, from a medical perspective, but when people want to invest, what do? They go out to Silicon Valley, no matter what it is. Why? Because the weather's nice. That's a good thing. And it's in December. It's not so nice in Boston. It's not so interesting, but you go out there, the weather's a bit nicer. You got that Mediterranean climate, but also the mentality's incredible because, you can fail and you're still, you're still treated the right way. You can fail faster, right? So the key is, it's not just about failing. It's about also having information like things like multi-agent LLMs that can help. That will change everything. You take that and put that inside of what you have today, it's going to change the world, literally.
Exactly. And I think having those, those connections and making those relationships while you're out there, right? Because sometimes you don't necessarily have to do it alone, right? There's partners out there that you should be working with it benefits both parties involved, right? Takes their technology to a next level or a whole different area that they wouldn't be thinking about. And it's same on our end, right? We utilize some of these technologies and it really revolutionizes what the results are coming out of the back end of our systems. And I think working together is the way to do it, right? You can try to go at your own, right? And we can do that and we have good products and you can probably have a solid company. But if you really want to, be the champion, I think you're going to have to look for partners, strategic partners that are going to work with you to really help both organizations get to those next levels.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Listen, we're coming up to the top of the hour. So closing thoughts and what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
So closing thoughts is it's a really exciting time in the spatial biology, personalized medicine field. Targeted Bioscience wants to get out there. It's our promise to transform individualized therapy and to create tailored therapies for patients. So if people want to get in touch with me, it's acarpino@targetedbioscience.com. Feel free to write me at any time and we can start these discussions.
Sounds great. Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. After the show, if you can just stay in line in the green room, I'll come back on.
Okay.
For all my audience out there, thanks for joining one more time. GSD presents Silicon Valley AI and Tech, and my name is Gary Fowler, and I'm your host. Stay happy, stay safe, and stay healthy, and I'll be back to you again Thursday with another exciting edition. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.